The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable William S. Greenberg presiding. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. This is Judge Greenberg. I'm joined today by Judge Meredith and Judge Falvey. We are convened today via video conference to consider arguments in the matter of Jalbert versus McDonough, case number 20-3219. Will counsel, beginning with appellant's counsel, enter your appearance?
Yes, Your Honor. Ryan Powell and Dan Wiedemeyer of Bergman & Moore for the appellant.
Thank you. I understand that you reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor. 10 minutes, please.
All right. May we hear have the appearance of counsel for the government, please?
Good morning, Your Honors. Stephanie Nerona and Deputy Chief Counsel Kenneth Walsh for the Secretary.
Thank you very much. We'll hear from Appellant's Counsel. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. This case is about the Secretary denying a higher rating for Mr. Jalbert's diabetes based on a requirement that simply is not present in the diagnostic code. Mr. Jalbert asked the Court today to remand his claim so that the board can properly apply the facts of his case to Diagnostic Code 7913 as it is written. Mr. Jalbert also appeals the denial of his claim for service connection for foot and leg arthritis because the board relied on an inadequate VA medical opinion in denying his claim. With respect to diabetes, Diagnostic Code 7913 provides three conjunctive criteria that are required for a veteran to be entitled to 40% evaluation. 40% is warranted when diabetes requires one or more daily injection of insulin, a restricted diet, and regulation of activities. At issue today is the third criterion. Regulation of activities is defined in the DC as avoidance of strenuous occupational and recreational activities. This avoidance must be medically necessary for the control of diabetes. Now here, the board acknowledged that in October 2019, a private physician completed a DBQ and marked yes in response to a question about whether it was medically necessary to regulate his activities. The board did not find that that physician lacked competence or that his opinion was in any way flawed, but found that this DBQ was not persuasive because it did not indicate that Mr. Jalbert's diabetes required regulation of activities, quote, with the intention of avoiding hypoglycemic episodes. Simply put, the phrase "with the intention of avoiding hypoglycemic episodes" is not found anywhere in the DC. The board provides no explanation for where it pulled this.
Just a minute. Sorry to interrupt. Is there anything other than this box to check for comments by the examining physician on the VA form that you're contesting?
Yes, Your Honor. There is, in that same box, there is a space for them to fill out examples as well. And in that box, in this case, the physician said let me bring it up real quick, sir.
Sure. My question is, how does what the physician put in that box help your case? So
Your Honor. Well,
tell us what it is and explain how that helps you.
Yes, Your Honor. The box, pardon me, I wanted to get the quote exact. In that box, he said he had to stop working in 2009 due to problems with balance and neuropathy. Now, that may reflect some confusion on the part of the examiner. It's very possible.
Mr. Powell. This is Judge Falvey. You characterized what the box asks for as give some examples of, how there's a necessity for regulation of activities. But it's more than give us some examples, isn't it? Isn't it explain yourself?
Yes, Your Honor. It does say describe how those regulation of activities is necessary. And in this case, he did described that it was because of balance, issues with balance and neuropathy.
In 2009.
Well, it may be read that way. Yes, he had to stop working in 2009. However, this DBQ was completed in 2019,
right,
which does indicate that it's possible that these restrictions still existed. Now, there are a few possibilities about what the examiner may have meant here. First of all, that checkbox was in 2019. That's when he is affirming that the regulation of activities is required. But it may be that his explanation represents a confused view about what regulation of activities means, as in perhaps he thought it was about what limitations are caused by his diabetes, not that his activities should be limited because it's necessary for the treatment of his diabetes. But he still checked the box yes, which does appear to fulfill the requirement for a 40% rating. So the confusion between his explanation and that checked box is really what is key here. Without any explanation from the board about why that checked box is not still valid, it is unclear why it was able to dismiss that DBQ entirely, especially when the board seemed to pull this other requirement out of nowhere. The requirement for it to be avoidance for the purpose of avoiding hypoglycemic episodes is not present in the DC. Now, I'll also note that there is a note in that box that does say for VA purposes, regulation of activities can mean that exact thing, what the board said, which that it might be for avoidance of hypoglycemic episodes. However, I'll note that it does say it can be for that purpose. Can suggest non-limiting possibilities. So it's possible that there are other reasons for it. And it's also not what the board pointed to as where it got that phrase.
For what other purpose could diabetes require the regulation of activities?
Well, that's a medical question, certainly. So I would not say that I'm an expert on it. However, I will say that it's instructive that there are at least two other examples in the diagnostic code of things that diabetes manifests that might be complications that result in or that are required, that require the regulation of activities. And that includes hyperglycemia. So hypoglycemia would be low blood sugar. Hyperglycemia suggests high blood sugar. And then ketoacidosis is also mentioned in the diagnostic code. And that is another possible manifestation. What we are concerned with is that the board pulled this very specific criteria out of thin air, it appears, and it's not present in the diagnostic code. We are not suggesting that there's one particular thing that must be avoided because we don't know. That's a medical question. And that medical question was arguably answered by that checked box when the doctor said yes. Now, I wanted to make one more point about that DBQ. It's not clear where the board got this criteria from, but it is clear that DBQ is not consistent with the board decision itself as well. So that board decision suggests two different reasons for the avoidance. It says hypoglycemic episodes, and then it also says for the control of blood sugars. Now, as we just mentioned, blood sugars can be controlled up or down. So that DBQ should not be the sole basis for what the board is getting its standard from. Now, as I mentioned, the board acknowledged that this DBQ exists. That checked box yes is enough to fulfill that criteria. And if the board thought that it was unclear or that it required some sort of clarification because it didn't like the explanation that was provided, then the board had at its disposal the ability to remand and to seek clarification of that.
Well, would you agree that, particularly, this is a private physician, I assume, employed by a veteran. We have to assume that the physician isn't entirely at home with VA forms. Is the benefit of the doubt given to a civilian or private physician? And would that be an argument, additional argument, why it should be remanded for an expansion or further explanation of the doctor's statements before saying no? By the way, this is going from 20% to 40%, right? This case, this is not from 0 to 40%. This is a VA veteran who has already been given a percentage for this.
That's correct, Your Honor. And Your Honor is correct that the interpretive doubt should be resolved in favor of the veteran, particularly where that checkbox is unambiguous itself. He did check yes. So the explanation that's provided, as I said, it is also somewhat ambiguous. And if that doubt is interpreted in favor of the veteran, then a 40% evaluation should be granted. Now, I have no further points on the first claim at this time, but looking at the second claim,
to the second claim.
Yes, sir.
So is your position now that the only evidence of record that satisfies the regulation of activities criteria is this 2019 DBQ?
No, Your Honor. As we put forward in the briefs, there's also a December 2011 statement from a Dr. Potter, another private physician, that does state with a little bit less specificity that his disabilities, including diabetes, require him to regulate his activities. Now, that may be a little bit less specific, as I said. However, we do propose that is a second indicia that should weigh in favor of a finding of 40%.
And to clarify, is your position that it has to be medically necessary because of the diabetes, that someone has instructed the veteran to limit his activities because of his diabetes? Are you not saying it's the neuropathy, the secondary complications that could lead to the limitation of activities?
That's correct, Your Honor. Consistent with the holding in Camacho, we believe that if it is medically necessary for the control of diabetes to regulate activities, that is sufficient. And we feel like that is met here. So with respect to the second claim, the board denied this claim while relying on a conclusory medical opinion. The August 2015 VA examiner found that appellant's foot arthritis and his knee arthritis were related to wear and tear issues and unrelated to his diabetes. It also mentioned that it was a separate condition, but this examination was not adequate. It's a bare conclusion that is essentially unreviewable. By saying it's wear and tear, this doesn't rule out other potential causes. The examiner also appeared to only consider the potential of blood sugars on the development of arthritis, when there is evidence, both lay and medical, that suggests his diabetes impacts the way he walks.
Remind me, if you will, this examiner, was it a physician, this government examiner?
I can find that out for you, Your Honor, but I don't have that handy right now.
All right. Just keep going.
Yes, sir. This examiner's opinion equates blood sugars with diabetes, but clarification is required to determine if any and all manifestation of diabetes may have impacted the development of his foot and leg arthritis. And then finally, the VA examiner's opinion only uses the term related and unrelated, but there is also evidence suggesting that his diabetes-related gait impairment and foot pain aggravated his arthritis. The October 2019 DBQ also states that his diabetes, at least as likely as not, permanently aggravated his chronic lower extremity pain. Now, the board didn't address this or reconcile it with the August 2015 VA opinion. Remand is thus required for this claim as well. Now, in closing, Mr. Gelbert seeks remand of his claim for a higher rating for diabetes because the board injected criteria into the diagnostic code that are not present. For the reasons discussed today and the reasons laid out in his briefing, Mr. Gelbert seeks remand of both claims on appeal today.
All right. Before you conclude, while you're listening to the secretary's argument, I'd like you to check your record and be prepared on rebuttal to describe the relative specializations of the private physician in terms of diabetes or related matters versus the government's examiner. Would you do that, please? All right.
Yes, sir.
We'll pass on to counsel for the secretary. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court. The secretary respectfully requests that this court affirm the board's February 2020 decision to sustain appellant's 20% rating for service-connected diabetes mellitus. The appellant in this case does not meet the regulation of activities requirement as prescribed by 38 CFR 4.119, Diagnostic Code 7913, which rates diabetes based on management of the disease and not complications of the disease. The facts in this case are not in dispute, and both parties agree that regulation of activities means the avoidance of strenuous recreational and occupational activities. Now, the question before the court, as the secretary understands it, is whether regulation of activities can be satisfied by evidence showing that the effects of diabetes are so severe that the veteran must restrict his activities. And the answer to that question is emphatically no. Regulation of activities means that diabetes itself and not the complications of diabetes are so severe that the veteran must avoid strenuous recreational and occupational activities. This court and
counsel, where does it say that in the regulation?
In order to answer your question, Your Honor, I think that we would have to look at holdings from this court, such as Camacho versus Nicholson, where the court discusses the regulatory history of the diagnostic code. And there, the court explains that the severity of the disease is measured, the diagnostic code measures the severity of the disease by how well the disease is controlled. And in Camacho, the court quotes from VA's 1993 proposed revision to the diagnostic code, where the secretary explains that the need for insulin, restricted diet, and regulation of activities are reliable indicators of the extent to which diabetes is controlled. So that shows us that regulation of activities serves the same purpose as the first two elements for the 40% rating, the requirement for insulin and the requirement for a restricted diet. Both are for the medical management of the disease or the control of blood sugar levels. Now, when interpreting a regulation, in addition to looking at its regulatory history, we want to look at its language, the plain meaning of which is derived from its text and its structure. And if we look at the structure of the diagnostic code itself, in order to warrant a 10% rating, diabetes must be manageable by restricted diet only. For the next higher rating, diabetes requires insulin and restricted diet or oral hypoglycemic agent and restricted diet. And for the next higher rating, diabetes requires the same two first elements, the requirement for insulin and restricted diet, as well as a regulation of activities. Now, we also want to take a step back and look at the diagnostic code as a whole. It starts with diabetes mellitus requires things such as regulation of activities. It doesn't say diabetes or its complications requires insulin or restricted diet or a regulation of activities. But the diagnostic code is not silent on what we do with those complications. If we look at note one, it tells us that we want to rate those complications separately. So for those reasons, looking at the regulatory history, the context, the structure of the diagnostic code, we see that regulation of activities can't be this broader meaning that appellant suggests in his brief, that is that regulation of activities is merely due to or related to diabetes. It's something much more narrow than that, and it has to be for the management or control of blood sugar levels. Appellant also argues that this court in Camacho versus Nicholson did not discuss the intent behind the diagnostic code, but that is not the case. This court, in addition to looking at the regulatory history, it also held that in order to be entitled to a 40% rating, the evidence must show that there's a medical necessity that the veteran has to avoid strenuous recreational and occupational activities. And in that case, this court found that Mr. Camacho did not meet the regulation of activities requirement by a doctor's comment that said that he could no longer drive as part of his employment because of his insulin usage. And in explaining why he didn't meet the regulation of activities requirement, the court observed that the doctor was not making an assessment that the appellant's condition required that he not drive as a means to control his diabetes. And so it's evident from the board's discussion there that the diagnostic code relates to whether or not a veteran has to curb his or her activities in order to control blood sugar levels. Keeping the intent behind the diagnostic code in mind, if we turn to the board's decision here, we see that the board adequately supported its decision with an adequate statement of reasons or bases, and it's supported by a plausible basis in the record. The board thoroughly reviews the evidence. It considers four different VA examinations, one from 2008, 2010, 2011, and 2015, all of where the VA examiners find that there's no medical necessity to regulate activity. The board also considers the favorable evidence of record, including the December 2011 letter from appellant's private physician, as well as an October 2019 DBQ authored by that same private physician. And the board finds that it doesn't meet the regulation of activities requirement because the regulation of those activities was not for the purpose of controlling blood sugar levels, for managing the disease. This is supported by the evidence in the record, and the board actually makes a factual finding that the regulation of activities is due to problems with leg pain and balance, which stem from peripheral neuropathy. Again, this is supported by the evidence in the record. The board discusses an October 2009 treatment record that states that physical activity has been limited by hip and leg pain, secondary to peripheral vascular disease. The board also considers appellant's March 2010 statement where he had complaints of numbness and no feeling in the leg, which gave him problems with balance, which in turn limited his activities. And so the evidence that appellant cites to show a regulation of activities shows at best that it's the effects of diabetes that cause the restriction in his ability to maintain balance and to walk. And this is important because the diagnostic code rates these complications of diabetes separately. In fact, the appellant in this case is service-connected for peripheral neuropathy under a separate diagnostic code. When the RO awarded that separate diagnostic code a 20% rating, it considered complaints of leg pain and numbness, and it also considered appellant's statements that he had no feeling in his feet, which caused problems with balance, which in turn limited his activities. And that's important to this case here today, because if we were to count those functional impairments as meeting the regulation of activities requirement under Diagnostic Code 7913, and it's also included for Diagnostic Code 8620, we would be essentially double counting those functional impairments, which violates the rule against pyramiding under 38 CFR 4.14. At the heart of appellant's argument is this contention that the board here injects criteria into the diagnostic code that is not present there, specifically the board's language where the avoidance of strenuous recreational and occupational activities has to be for the purpose of avoiding a hypoglycemic episode. That language is consistent with the plain meaning of the regulation. As we've already explained, the diagnostic code measures the severity of the disease by how well diabetes is controlled. And diabetes on its most simple level is the body's inability to naturally regulate blood sugar levels. And so if the purpose of the regulation of activities requirement is not to avoid drops in blood sugar or the hypoglycemic episode, then what other purpose could it serve? And in fact, if it did serve some other purpose, that would be contrary to note one of the diagnostic codes, which tells us that we want to rate these complications separately. Even if the court does not agree with the avoidance of hypoglycemic episodes language being consistent with the plain meaning of the regulation, the appellant here fails to show prejudicial error.
Before you go on to prejudicial error, what of Mr. Powell's argument that there's other changes in blood sugar? I think he said hyperglycemic episode, ketoacidosis. In reference to couple of other things that could require regulation of activities than just hypoglycemic episodes. What's your response to that?
Yes, Your Honor. In order to answer that question, I think we'd have to have some background of what ketoacidosis is and what causes it. So diabetics, they either don't produce insulin or they're insulin resistant, and insulin plays a key role in helping glucose or sugar enter the body's cells, which the muscles and tissues in turn use for as sources of energy. And so when we don't have that source of energy, the body begins to burn fat for fuel, and this process produces a buildup of acids in the blood called ketones, which eventually could lead to diabetic ketoacidosis. But that's a completely separate animal from the avoidance of the hypoglycemic reactions, which are drops in blood sugar levels. And ketoacidosis really reflects the limits of the management of the disease in this case. So in every other level, we still rate the diabetes by how well it's managed. Every level includes the requirement for insulin, restricted diet, and above the 40% level, the regulation of activities.
I understand your argument that the diagnostic code focuses on actions that are necessary for the management of the diabetes. But as I understand Mr. Powell's argument, and he can on rebuttal, he can correct me if I'm misstating it, that by specifically focusing on the hypoglycemic episode necessitating regulation of that, necessitating the limitation on activities, that they have narrowed the regulation of activities and thereby failed to consider other needs for the activity to be managed, to manage the diabetes. Are you arguing that the board opinion in total is really focused on regulation of blood sugars, properly so, and that this focus on hypoglycemic episodes is just part of that equation, or are they properly focused just on hypoglycemic episodes?
Yes, Your Honor. The board focuses or it finds that the regulation of activities requirement is not met because the regulation of activities is not for the purpose of controlling blood sugar levels. And that's what a hypoglycemic episode is. It's a drop in blood sugars. And the secretary here has decided to rate diabetes based on management of the disease and not complications of the disease. And so the board's language is consistent with the plain meaning of the diagnostic code.
So if he had evidence, maybe this is the segue to your prejudicial error analysis, if he had evidence of that Mr. Jalbert suffered from hyperglycemic episodes, that elevated blood sugars, and there for he needed to regulate activities to prevent that, would that justify a 40% rating?
Your Honor, I think that enters the realm of medical assessment.
I would agree, but that maybe that's Mr. Powell's point, is that's therein lies the error, the board's error, that they focused on just one possible effect the diabetes is having on blood sugars and should have considered other possibilities.
Well, I think we want to take a look at the diagnostic code itself. The 60% rating, or anywhere else really in the diagnostic code, makes no mention of the hyperglycemic reactions, which are the spikes in blood sugar levels. And when we're talking about regulation of activities, that's when you're going to regulate your activities in the efforts to avoid low blood sugar levels, you don't regulate your activities to avoid a spike in blood sugar levels. And I think that's part of the reason why it's not in the diagnostic code. Hyperglycemic episodes aren't mentioned there, because that's just not a reason that you would regulate your activities. If that answers your question.
Thank you.
And so bringing us back to prejudicial error, the appellant in this case points to two pieces of evidence, the December 2011 letter from the private physician, as well as the October 2019 DBQ, to show that the regulation of activities was met. But here, the board properly found that the regulation of activities is not for the purpose of controlling blood sugars. And in fact, there's nothing in these two records that show that there's a medical necessity for the appellant to avoid strenuous recreational and occupational activities. And so for that reason, the board properly concluded that the requirement in the diagnostic code was not met. The board also denied service connection for arthritis, including as secondary to appellant's service-connected diabetes. Appellant argues that the August 2015 VA examination is inadequate because the examiner did not provide a well-reasoned rationale. But that is not the case. Here, the examiner looked at the medical history. She discussed the appellant's age, that he was in his 60s, I believe. She looked at imaging studies, and she used all of this information in order to reach her opinion that the arthritis was not related to the diabetes. It was, in fact, due to a separate issue, and that is age-related changes and wear and tear issues. And so that was enough for the board to make an informed decision that arthritis was not linked to the service-connected diabetes.
Go ahead, Judge Meredith.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you, I don't believe we have any board findings as to the adequacy of that 2015 medical exam or whether the duty to assist was satisfied. And I don't believe there's any findings as to whether the examiner's rationale was sufficient. So are those matters, if you agree, there are no board findings as to those, are those matters that are open to debate? Is this something that we can resolve in the first instance in the absence of any board findings?
Your Honor, I do believe the board has treated this as an implicit finding in the past. And here, although the board doesn't specifically make this finding that the August 2015 examination is adequate, we can assume that it did. It wouldn't have to say that it found it adequate, because it relied on it to make its decision. And here it found that the rationale was enough for it to make an informed decision on whether or not that arthritis was related to the service-connected diabetes. Appellant also argues that the board erred when it didn't discuss whether diabetes aggravated his arthritis. Here, it's our position that the board was not required to address this under Robinson because the issue was not reasonably raised. In fact, the only evidence that appellant points to support his theory is the October 2019 DBQ, where the private examiner said that diabetes, at least as likely as not, aggravates peripheral vascular disease, peripheral neuropathy, and chronic lower EXTPN. But as you see there's no mention of arthritis. So, for that reason, the board was not required to address this theory.
Ms. Corona, Mr. Powell interprets the PN to be pain, and the secretary interprets it to be peripheral neuropathy, which would be a bit redundant to the prior reference to peripheral neuropathy. How are we to choose between your interpretations without sending it back? Why wouldn't we be making that finding in the first instance?
Whichever one it was, whether it's pain, peripheral neuropathy, or something completely different, the fact is it's not arthritis. And I think that the appellant isn't competent to make that medical determination that the private examiner there was referencing arthritis and saying that diabetes is what aggravates that. And so the issue wasn't reasonably raised, and it really wasn't something that the board had to consider under Robinson.
Great. Thank you.
So if there are no further questions from the court, the secretary would respectfully request that this court affirm the board's February 2020 decision. The appellant in this case does not meet the regulation of activities requirement. The diagnostic code 7913 rates diabetes according to how it's managed and not the complications of the disease. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll hear the rebuttal from the appellant's lawyer.
First, Judge Greenberg, I believe you asked me a question about the what type of provider provided that August 2015 VA exam, and that was a doctor of osteopathic medicine.
That was the VA doctor? Answer?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what about the doctor for the appellant?
The appellant, if you're referring to the October 2019 DBQ, then that was a doctor of osteopathic. Forgive me, Your Honor, I got this backwards. The October 2019 DBQ was completed by a doctor of osteopathic medicine. The August 2015 VA opinion was rendered by a podiatrist.
Thank you. Go ahead.
To briefly respond to the secretary, it appears that the secretary's argument is not responsive to the basic question that that the appellant is raising. We argued that the board added something to the diagnostic code. She hasn't explained why we're wrong and why the board can do that. Even if it is consistent with what she feels is the definition or with Camacho, we wouldn't agree to that, of course, but why can the board add that to the DC? It's very clear that the board said it must be require the regulation activities for the purpose and the intention of avoiding hypoglycemic episodes. And that is simply not what it says. So I don't believe I heard a response in there from the secretary about why the board can do that and inject more criteria. It's also instructive that the secretary's counsel ignored the checked box on the DBQ. She said that there's no competent medical evidence of regulation of activities that fits her definition, but the checked box is competent evidence, and that was done by a competent examiner. The board didn't question that at all, but the board did focus on that written explanation, which may or may not, as we've covered, actually comport with what everybody thinks that the regulation of activities should be. She focused on the written explanation, but that doesn't address the significance of the yes, the checked box. Now, as for the arthritis claims, it's not clear, as Judge Falvey said, that if it's not clear what the abbreviation PN means, then as I argued in the alternative, the court should not make that determination in the first instance, and reasons or bases remand would be an appropriate response by the court there as well. So in the absence of any other questions or clarifying points, I have nothing further to add, and I ask the court to remand both claims on appeal.
Thank you. Judge Meredith, any questions?
Nothing further. Thank you.
Judge Falvey?
Nothing further. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you to both counsel. Your written submissions and your argument were excellent and will be of great help to the court. The matter is submitted.
The court is in recess.